Hello, Pistons fans, and welcome to this episode of Inside the Cylinder. We have a very special episode coming your way. This is your co-host, Joey Mack. I'm here with my fellow co-host, David Fernandez. He is currently living a tropical lifestyle down on the island of San Martin. So he's going to bring some hot takes from his beautiful views down there. Say what up, David.
What's up, everyone? It's great because it feels like, you know, everyone's on this vacation with me right now. Especially you, Joe, even though you're in cold Chicago. But
yes, we're Skyping right now, and I can see the sunny weather and the palm trees. So part of me feels like I'm there with you mentally, but I'm not. It's cold here.
But
I am wearing a Hawaiian shirt as well. So that
yeah, we are wearing Hawaiian shirts today, even though I'm not in Hawaii, but. No. We are wearing our tropical-themed shirts down here from the... Well, I'm in the French West Indies right now, just keeping it cool. Welcome to the very tropical edition of Inside the Cylinder, where you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, AlmightyBaller.com. And, give us a like, give us a follow, download, subscribe. We'll be here. You can definitely listen in on this very tropical edition of Inside the Cylinder.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Got a lot coming your way regarding the beautiful tropics as well as the Detroit Pistons. And we're going to merge the two here.
Want to know one thing that I noticed, Joe?
What's that?
The water here is very blue, and the Pistons jerseys are also blue.
So that's true.
Transition us on over to Piston land.
That's true. Have you ever seen a wave that looks like Reggie Jackson's like pick and roll game getting into the post? Or
I've seen some waves that look like Baines crashing the boards.
Oh, that's
for sure.
Which he has been doing a lot lately. Awesome. Well, yeah. So the Pistons are recently coming off a 5-3 stretch. Last night they did lose. Unfortunately, to the Indiana Pacers, had a couple good wins before that, so we're going to get into the up and downs of Reggie Jackson kind of where we are going forward in terms of the playoff race with the surging Miami Heat. It's hot down there, right, David?
Actually, yeah, the Miami Heat are the closest team to me right now, like, for sure.
Yeah, in proximity.
I did see a guy wearing a Pistons, throwover shirt at the beach yesterday. It was like the
Did you shout out?
2004-ish Pistons. Actually, like the 2002 Pistons design. I did not shout him out because I had no idea to the context of how he had that shirt, if he was actually a Pistons fan. But, you know, I did talk to a Pacers fan yesterday, actually, but which is kind of a sore subject.
Should we talk
about that game at all, or what?
It wasn't a very fun game. At least once Paul George started getting really Paul Georgie, which he does against the Pistons, unfortunately. But
small forwards like to feast on the Pistons. That's something I've noticed.
Yeah, they do.
It's a very prone position. I mean, it is one of the more talented positions in the league, so I guess it makes sense.
But, I mean, LeBron, who else are the small forwards that really...
I mean, Jimmy Butler kills us, Kawhi. I mean, he's kind of a shooting guard, I guess, but I don't know. Really anyone that kind of can play that slot well does it well against us.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Paul George specifically does destroy the Pistons.
Yeah, it was a tough loss coming off a couple good wins, specifically the 76ers... didn't have any of their stars. So we needed to win that game, and we did.
136 points in regulation is impressive no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, it is the NBA, so regardless of who you're playing. And that was the most points any team has scored this year in regulation, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
So, it's good to see the ball go in the basket. And then I was really excited about the Bulls win. I am currently here in Chicago, so I follow the Bulls a little bit. You know, they've had their struggles, and we're definitely a better squad than them. But that was a really physical kind of playoffy atmosphere. I liked how the refs reffed that game specifically. They let them play a little bit. They weren't calling little like ticky tacky fouls, and I think that's conducive to both of their play styles. And you know, Reggie Jackson showed a little vintage Reggie that game, which was fun. But
he
that's something I like to touch
on. Roll.
Yeah. He did, yeah, yeah, and I think which is good for his confidence and which we need in order to win games. So we played well there. David, do you think that? Give me some philosophical island thoughts here. Do you think Reggie Jackson is back, or do you think we need to see more of that?
I mean, in the philosophical sort of islandy sense, you know, everyone is live and let live. So, you know, Reggie can do whatever he wants to do, whether he's playing bad or playing well. What I do know is that in those two wins, looking at the Bulls and the Ersan Ilyasova, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, who has yet to sniff the floor in an NBA game, less 76ers and the Bulls, Reggie put up 23.5 a game. He was shooting 67% from the floor. He was averaging 4 assists to 2 turnovers, 71% from 3. And he boasted a plus-minus of nine in you know, an average of 28 minutes a game. So I think he's healthy. I'll say that. I don't know if he's back. I don't know. I mean, his confidence was clearly there, especially in the Bulls game. He was just on fire and just, you know, he kind of had some, like, I won the world championship type of quotes after the game, just saying that, like, his teammates really kind of supported him and it was, you know, a really tough season for him so far. And he's glad that he was able to kind of, you know, put the team on his back a little bit like he usually does, or used to at least. So I think that, you know, I think he's healthy, but then, you know, we look at the Pacers game and that was just an atrocious performance by all the starting backcourt and Reggie Jackson in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to give Stan Van Gundy some props for making the move to give Reggie 6 minutes of playing time and letting him just ball out in 6 minutes and not worry about sort of his conditioning, you know, playing a 9 or 10 minute stretch. So, you know, that move to give him 6 minutes and then ish 6 minutes, I think has helped Reggie out a lot. And I think that he can carry more of an offensive load because he doesn't have to worry about playing longer stretches on the floor. So, you know, he didn't get real dramatic and give Ish Smith the starting point guard spot. I don't think that would have been good for us moving forward. I think he did the right thing, and I think that's paid dividends with how Reggie has played. You know, specifically shooting, we've talked about, like, Reggie can shoot. Although he's had his knee issues, he's been shooting really well. And if he's playing in shorter spurts, then he can, you know, use a little bit more energy in trying to get to the hoop in those pick and roll situations. His defense is still really bad, but, you know, what can you do? But yeah, I agree. I think that Reggie's still Reggie.
I didn't get to catch a ton of the Pacers game. Were they hiding him on guards again? Like, was they the worst wing player?
Yeah, they tried to hide him like they do in most games. But it's kind of a game of hide and seek with Reggie, where, like, we're trying to hide him and the other team's trying to find him and, like, you know, exploit his defensive deficiencies. So yeah, so it's it was one of those things, and he got torched, which is just gonna happen. I mean, sometimes you feel better if you can get him switched on to a small I'd rather see him try to play defense on, like, a small forward in the post than try to play straight up man-to-man defense on, like, a point guard, because his lateral quickness just isn't there.
He also gets just bodied up by screens. I mean, we've talked about that before, obviously, but yeah. he gets eviscerated on screens. So, you know, kind of just leads. Then everything starts to collapse around that pick and roll after Reggie Jackson kind of gets taken out of play. So, yeah, I mean, you do see that often. You know, they do put him on, like, a if the team has, like, a, what's his name? small forward from the Raptors.
Oh, Damari Carroll.
Yeah, like a Damari Carroll. You know, then you're going to hide him on the Damari Carroll. Like, that's a good matchup, sadly, for the Pistons. Where, I mean, maybe not great for Tavius Caldwell Pope having to chase around Kyle Lowry, but you know, it is what it is. We got to use him when we can.
Yeah, so. I mean, he's a pretty long. He's long too. I mean, he's decently. He's what, 6'4" with a massive wingspan. So, if somebody's trying to back him down and, you know, hit a fadeaway J or whatever it may be, he can get a hand up and he can body guys decently. But it's still an issue, and still something we're figuring out.
So, do you think Reggie's back then? Like,
I don't think
do you think he's healthy?
I don't think he's healthy. I think conditioning is still an issue with him, and I think that's the reason why Stan Van has been going with the 6 minutes on, 6 minutes off strategy between him and Ish Smith. And I think that's really smart because he can give you 6 minutes of solid play, but in a 10-minute stretch, you just see him again huffing and puffing and sweating bullets and looking like he's going to pass out. So, and he just can't give you anything on either end at that point in time. So I think it allows us to utilize his offensive skills for a time period. One thing I want to say, and this isn't about specifically Reggie Jackson, but it is about minutes and where we're playing guys. Tobias Harris has been awesome. He was our go-to guy against the Pacers. He's our most efficient scorer. One thing I've noticed is the Pistons have had a lot of trouble out of the gate against teams. I mean, it's often that we see that we're down 12-4, 14-10. We're just down in the fourth quarter, in the first quarter, come out of the gate. And I'm curious whether or not starting Tobias Harris would maybe help us out in terms of getting keeping up or getting a lead in the first quarter coming out of the gate. Obviously he's doing really well off the bench, but I think that we could use his offense in early in the first quarter. What are your thoughts there, David?
I think that's something that, like, I don't think we're going to see anything like that going into the playoff stretch. I think that's something that, you know, teams will make the dramatic moves in the playoffs when they need to, because it's win or go home. You know, you gotta win some games or you're going to get bounced. I don't necessarily see that that's going to happen. One thing that you're starting to notice as well is Tobias Harris is getting some national attention now for six man of the year award. So like it's going to be coming down to him. Eric Gordon and Lou Williams, you know, those three guys are kind of like the front runners for six man. So
I'd be curious to know how Tobias feels about that. Is that exciting? Is it kind of weird?
If he's already this coming off the bench, you can take that hit. You might as well get an award for it, right?
Yeah.
Like people, that's a great award to have. Oh, almost dropped off my my island water bottle, but we're good. I think that that's something that we're gonna kind of just monitor going forward. I think it's something that he would do only in like a possible must-win situation.
I agree.
Not, you know, I think like we talked about in podcasts before, there's finally some sort of rhythm and we actually have an understanding of what our lineups are starting to look like, and our bench unit is just destroying teams. Like that Ish Smith Tobias combo is just nasty.
Ish Smith, Tobias, Stanley has been playing really well. Aaron Baines has been making a serious impact as well.
Aaron Baines had some thunder dunks against the Bulls. That one, like, Air Jordan dunk he had, I almost, like, got off my seat and, like, went hammer myself. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was funny watching. It's good to see. I mean, Stan Gundy's talked about it recently, how much he values Aaron Baines. And during the trade deadline, you know, people made offers for Aaron Baines, specifically second-round picks. But in Stan Van Gundy's view, and I think this is smart, he's not worth giving up for the rest of the year for a second-round pick. The value just
I think
isn't
we
there.
Get rid of Aaron Baines, and that's kind of the play that you go for, then you're pretty much saying, like, that's almost saying – we're cool with not making the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's so crucial for this team. And we've had some Aaron Bain jokes on this pod before, and, I mean, he still can't catch.
He can't catch. That is
it. No, I mean, he can't catch. But he's been playing crunch time minutes. You know, his big free throws, he crashes the glass, he's good on D. He does Exactly. He's a perfect backup center.
He really anchors. Is. He anchors our bench, and a lot of that is communicating with other guys, setting monster screens, just good chemistry with Ish and Stanley.
Sometimes he'll flatten someone on a screen. He'll just get an offensive foul call. It's like, no, he's just a big man and a little guard right into him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens when you hit a wall.
Yeah, he's massive. The matchup between him and Felicio from the Bulls was just two brutes just bumping heads the entire time. And
Bane's got the best of him,
Bane's
for sure.
Definitely got the best of him. So that was good to see. He did get hurt last night. I think it was he tweaked something. Let's see what's going on with that. So hopefully he'll be healthy going forward. But, I mean, you know, there are a lot of Boban fans out there, and I consider myself one of them. But you do lose certain things on both ends of the floor without Aaron Baines out there. And you notice that when Boban's playing long stretches. So, he sprained his ankle, so he's questionable against the Cavaliers. So we'll see what's going on with the Bainesy moving forward. And now a quick word from our sponsor. Do you play daily fantasy? If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just 1 day, and they take only minutes to complete. Join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100 when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100. That's ALMIGHTY100. Now back to David and Joey for some Pistons basketball.
So let's get into this playoff race. So the Bulls are one thing. Just real quick, just to kind of recap on them. I think it's very clear that the Pistons are a better team than the Bulls, top to bottom. They didn't have Dwayne Wade, but Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter, it looked like he was just looking around like, this is my team. Like, no one else can score on this team. What am I supposed to do? Like, he put in 27 points or something like that. I think, yeah, he scored 27 points in that game. So it's like, you know, what can you do in that situation? So I think that's something that really proved that top to bottom were better than the Bulls. So I'm kind of hoping that the Pistons can kind of solidify that 7 seed. But looking at the standings right now, the Heat and the Bucks are a half game back of the 7/8 seed, which the Pistons and Bulls are pretty much tied at right now. Pistons are at the 7 seed because of their record against the Bulls. But I'm concerned. I'm seriously concerned about the Miami Heat. They have just been on a tear. They're, I think, 7-3 in their last 10. They're like 45-2 in their last 47 or something. Like, they're just rolling, so it's a concern, of course.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. You have to be worried about the seed to an extent because we don't want to play the Cavaliers in the first round. We will lose. We do have a chance against other teams, you know. Boston Celtics specifically, potentially maybe the Raptors if we can get a better seed. That being said, we need to just make the playoffs, and I am concerned as well about the Miami Heat, potentially the Bucks. They just got Middleton back, so who knows what kind of runs these guys can go on. And the Pistons do play, I believe, 2 of their next 3 games against the Cavaliers. Like, we have a tough schedule coming up, so all it takes is a couple wins from those teams and a couple losses from us, and then we're on the outside looking in, and we're not a veteran squad. We're a young team, and who knows how we would bounce back from that situation. So I'm with you. I think we just need to...
In the Pistons' next 5 games, they have the Cavaliers twice, the Jazz, and the Raptors. You throw in a Knicks game at home, which seems definitely, looking at the schedule, looks like a must-win game. So then you have the 2 Cavs games, like I said, the Jazz and the Raptors. So that's could be trouble. Now, the schedule does lighten up. You get a couple Nets games, you get a Magic game, you get a Suns game at home. after that stretch. But these next five games are going to be pretty important, and every game is going to be important. It's going to be a tight race. One thing that scares me about the Heat, I would say more than the Bucks, is that they have a pretty solid, like, full, like, they have a more developed full roster, it looks like. You know, Dragic is good. Like, Hassan Whiteside is a problem. Deion Waiters is just Deion Waitersing it out right now. He just had a game winner against the Cavaliers. And then they have, like, some young.
Yeah, Deion's getting real tropical as well on Waiters. Deion Waiters Island.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah, Deion Waiters Island is actually, like, the island over.
Oh, you can see it?
Yeah, I saw him hit that three. So, yeah, I'm definitely concerned. You know, I think that they're you don't win that many games in a row, and you don't go on these types of stretches without being good. So, Deion Waiters and Dragic are the keys to that, you know, to that Miami Heat vehicle, and they're really getting it rolling at the right time. So, I think that they might mess around and make the playoffs, honestly, and hope that the Bulls would be the ones that fall out there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, well, and Eric Spoelstra is just a fantastic coach, and they play really well together. Like, the chemistry on that team is insane. They move the rock. They've got, like, smaller pieces that we've talked about in previous episodes, like James Johnson, Josh Richardson, Rodney Gruder? I mean, so, like, you know, and they, like you said, they got Hassan Whiteside back, and Goran Dragic is playing awesome, so... I'm worried about them as well, but, you know, the Pistons right now need to kind of focus on themselves and just try to win some games, and we'll see where we go from there.
The Pistons have been playing winning basketball themselves. Like, they've been playing above 500 basketball for the entire month of February and early through March. So, you know, things aren't – it's not like we're talking about the Pistons like we were in early January when it just seemed like all the wheels were about to fall off and – you know, you were just kind of questioning everything that you were seeing on the floor.
Yeah, we're not in panic mode.
No, it doesn't seem like we are. I think we're in the driver's seat. We're in the seventh seed right now. We're only two games back of the Pacers at the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Now, the Pacers are, I think, just a better team than us, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll finish with a better schedule. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm sitting with everything. You know, the sixth seed is still a possibility, but at the same time, so is missing. Playoffs. That's really where the Pistons are at, and it's really kind of taking care of business at home is going to be huge. Yeah. Four of their next five games are at home too. So they have the Cavs at home, the Knicks at home. They go to Cleveland. They have the Jazz at home and the Raptors at home, and then the Suns at home. So they really got to take care of business at home, which they've done all season. So
yeah,
if that continues to be the case, then I think we'll be sitting pretty come April.
Yeah, it's playoff basketball. Before playoff basketball, like we saw last year when they're fighting to get in, you know, these games are just so important. And the tides can turn really quickly. So hopefully they will take care of business at home, like you said, and we'll see moving forward. One thing I do want to touch on, David, is your – what are you reading these days?
Well, my island reading?
Yeah, your island reading, like you on a lawn chair with maybe a margarita, a bucket hat on, some sunglasses. what are you reading?
Well, the drink of choice has been Presidente Lager. It's actually a pilsner. I've been drinking plenty of Presidentes, who are unfortunately not a sponsor of this podcast, which you'd kind of think that they would be, but we'll get Chris on that one. See what's up with that Presidente sponsorship outlook. My island reading. So, you know, I've been catching up on the Book of Basketball. You know, just it's a 700-page book, so there's quite a bit to read. I picked up a little excerpt that stood out to me. And it was, so we're going to take you into a time machine right now. Not only a time machine that's taking you back in time, but it's also taking you to this type of tropical setting that I'm trying to portray here. So we're going back to the 2003 draft, and the question was, it was like a what-if section. Like, it was all these basketball what-ifs, this happened, what if this didn't happen. And the question was, what if Melo, the Pistons drafted Melo over Darko, Carmelo Anthony over Darko Milicic in the 2003 draft, that outstanding draft where it was obviously LeBron James, Darko was 2, Melo was 3, Dwayne Wade was, I think, 5, Chris Bosh was 4. Yeah, Chris Bosh was 4, Dwayne Wade was 5. Just full of all-stars and Hall of Famers in there. Yeah, the Pistons obviously drafted Darko Milicic, which goes down as the worst draft pick of possibly of all time. I think.
Yeah, I mean, probably that and Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, but
Anthony Bennett was pretty bad too.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Marcus Russell was really bad, but that's football, anyways.
Yeah, Russell. He could throw a ball 50 yards from his knee. So.
Yeah, he did have that.
So that was sick. So yeah, this excerpt that read out that stood out to me is. So this is Bill Simmons just writing about that Pistons draft. He says the long-term effect, Brown quit, Larry Brown, because he did not get along with Melo during the Olympics and it would not have worked out. Melo or Prince gets traded because we had Tayshaun Prince, Carmelo Anthony played in the same position. And he says picking the wrong guy ended up winning Detroit that one championship. As for the what if they had taken Bosch or Dwayne Wade argument, which I hear all the time, and I talked about that myself. Like, I didn't necessarily know too much. At 2003, I was pretty young, so I didn't really know what the clamor was leading up into the draft. He said there was a definitive top three at the time. It was either LeBron James with one, obviously, Darko and Melo, and Detroit would have been skewered for taking anyone else second. So apparently, for all those big what if type of questions, not like, what if they drafted Melo, which is an actual question you can ask, but if they had drafted Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh, it wasn't going to happen, apparently. Like, it sounds like there was no way that the Pistons were going to be picking one of those guys, that you couldn't pick one of those guys in the top three. So,
yeah.
You know?
No, I remember that. And I remember that being, it was Melo or Darko. That was the conversation. There was no conversation of, like, Wade or Darko or Bosh or Darko, because Melo was just coming off a national championship at Syracuse, and he was clearly the best college basketball player coming out. Obviously, LeBron James is going number one. Darko was an international sort of sensation with his workouts. I think Chad Ford hyped him up seriously. Carmelo was the best player, you know, at that point in time. So it was one or the other. A lot of guys said that Darko was up there with, like, LeBron is, you know, just this absolute superstar potential going forward. And that just obviously didn't pan out. So, like, I think it's worth it to get that 2004 championship as opposed to potentially getting Melo and maybe competing, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals for a couple years going forward. Well, obviously, it's all speculation.
Yeah, we could have been just the Nuggets 2.0. I mean, we had a better supporting roster, and, you know, Detroit was a awesome playoff team at that time, and they had the number 2 pick, which is a pretty rare occurrence. But, I think that was something that, you know, I'd rather secure the championship as well, because we didn't win it in typical fashion anyways, you know, with a team of no true, like, superstars. It was all just, you know, really solid supporting level players. Now, one thing, just to kind of go back to your point about, you know, the hype over of Darko, I remember watching in 2004, because I was worried, you know, we drafted him, he didn't sniff the floor at all because we didn't need him. We were kind of just developing him the whole time.
Yeah, Larry Brown also doesn't play rookies, so that was a part of it.
Yeah, and that was something where, you know, every time he did sniff the floor, it was pretty ugly looking, so I was concerned as a fan, just like, who was that, like, I know Dwayne Wade is balling right now. I know Carmelo Anthony's balling. Obviously, LeBron James wasn't going to be available for us, but
and we had seen all those guys either in college or high school make plays. You know, I'd seen the LeBron highlights, of course. I'd seen Dwayne Wade. I'd seen Chris Bosh at
I watched
Georgia
that
Tech.
Tournament.
We watched that tournament. We had never seen Darko play. Like, we'd seen, you know, his workouts in empty gyms, but, you know, you hadn't seen anything tangible at that point in time.
But they asked Jay Billis a question in 2004. So this was the year after the draft. And it was leading up into that draft, into the 2004 draft. And they asked him, if you were to take any player number one overall from last year's draft that is not LeBron James, so that's Darko, Melo, Dwayne Wade. So this is the year after the actual draft. He said, who would you pick? And he said, Darko Milicic, no doubt about it. So even the year after he didn't sniff the floor, and when he did, it was ugly, analysts were still saying, like, no, Darko's still the guy that you take at that spot. So it kind of gave me comfort at that moment, only to be falsified comfort because Darko, you know, really didn't develop into much. I remember him specifically checking into games and getting stuffed by the rim, and he's 7 feet. So that concerned me. But, yeah, that was, I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. It's a crazy what-if question. It's fun to play around with because, like, could the Pistons have been, like, could Carmelo just been that go-to superstar with all these awesome supporting role players and, you know, like the Chaunceys and the Richard Hamiltons? And could we have been, like, a championship team for 3 years? But we'll obviously never know.
Yeah, I mean, those drafts are tough. You don't know. Every year you draft the wrong guy, and you know pretty quickly whether or not it's the wrong guy. I mean, people were talking about Chris Dunn being an NBA-ready point guard. Now people are saying he can't play. Like, you don't know.
Emmanuel Mudiay was on the trade block. You know, people were listening to offers on him, and he was coming out of high school as, like, the next best player. Like, he was going to be this superstar-level point guard, and, you know, he can't shoot. And now he was on the trade block during, you know, the trade deadline. So
that happens quickly.
That's kind of stuff that it does happen quickly.
And these are scouts and GMs who are spending a lot of time recruiting these guys, measuring their, like, wingspan and all these tiny details of their body and their mentality and their game and the analytics and all of this stuff. And you never know. And a lot of that does probably have to do with your situation. With Darko, it wasn't an ideal situation for him. You know, he was probably the type of guy that probably needed to just learn by being out on the floor. I don't know. But I
completely agree. That's exactly what has to happen.
Yeah. And that makes a difference. You know, Stanley Johnson, for some reason, was playing on the Timberwolves.
Or the Phoenix Suns.
Or the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, so if you switch him and Devin Booker's situations, like, he could be putting up big, big numbers. You just don't know, and that's kind of a situation thing. So, yeah, good looks there. It's interesting to go into that.
The wormhole
of Pistons basketball. I will say really quickly.
I think that's a question, though, that I think every Pistons fan has asked themselves. Like, what if we didn't draft Darko? What if we picked up one of these other superstars?
Yeah.
You know, but obviously it was only a 3-man conversation, but it's a fascinating what if, and it's something that, you know, it's going to be, it's, like I said, it's one of the worst draft picks of all time.
I think it's a what if for Melo as well, from his perspective of, like, he's never made it to a championship. You know, he's getting older. He's, what, 33? Like, what if for him, what if he would have been drafted by the Pistons? Like,
he's,
he would have,
quote unquote, not a winner. Like, what if we taught him how to win?
Yeah.
Like, what if that was something where he just kind of rode the pine a little bit and
for a couple years
from the guys, like, you know, Chauncey Billups went through the same type of stuff. He was a, you know, a lottery pick, top 3, top 4 pick, and he was traded in his first season. So, you know, he had a tumultuous beginning to his career. And, you know, he wound up being one of the best point guards of that generation. So
yeah,
it's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's a huge one for Carmelo, you know. So
it would have changed his career completely. I was just watching, before we sign off here in a bit, I was just watching the 88-89 Detroit Pistons NBA video of, like, the entire season. Not, like, the bad boy. Not, you know, the 30 for 30 was awesome. It was really cool. And it shed some interesting light on that team and the psychology behind it. But watching that season video was really cool because it takes you step by step through, like, their playoff series, their mentality. It talks about, like, Dennis Rodman and his defensive ability. You know, we kind of think of him as, like, this late 90s crazy cat who, like, just rebounds really well. His defense was incredible. That defense was unreal. We had we were throwing both Joe Dumars and Dennis Rodman at Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson.
And shutting them down.
I mean, the defense was unreal.
Shutting down the old Magic, or, you know, Magic, but...
Yeah,
Michael still got his.
But. Yeah, and people talk about, like, the Jordan rules and how physical we were and, like, throwing people on the ground.
That's what you have,
like,
to,
yeah,
do.
That was there to an extent. You know, you see the same 15 highlights of Bill Laimbeer, like, you know, throwing Larry Bird to the ground, and, you know, that was kind of a part of it, that intimidation. But a lot of, like, our defense at that point in time
still
was
good.
So
yeah.
Unreal. I mean, across the board. So it's nice to go down that Pistons wormhole of history. and you know, sort of try to tie that back into where we're at right now and what we're trying to do moving forward.
Our what if questions and, you know, our talking about championships is a lot better than, let's say, like the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
What if we never broke up Sam Cassell, Latrell Sprewell?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, what if? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about teams with like history and tradition, and it's like, it's the Celtics, it's the Bulls,
Lakers.
It's the Lakers, it's the Sixers to a certain extent.
Yeah, you know,
it's the Spurs. Kind of
Spurs for sure.
And then it's the Pistons, right? Like, we're sort of
Pistons above Sixers.
Pistons sure. above Sixers, but you yeah. know, that's kind of the group that you talk about in NBA history who have you know, made an impact over the last like 40 years or so. So
sure, yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I completely agree, and it's fun. It's fun to yeah. do, and you know, I'm probably gonna have to catch up on some of this reading, go back to the beach, and back to my Presidentes. So I think signing off, right, Joe?
Signing off. I think that's all I got. I've even been wearing some suntan lotion down there, so you look a bit tan.
Yeah, you know, I've been wearing some. You know, the UV rays are pretty high here, so I try to keep it 100.
Did you bring your Isaiah Thomas jersey down there, by chance?
Of course, I brought my Isaiah Thomas jersey down here.
Nice. Pistons Isaiah Thomas, for the record.
Yes, of course.
To listeners out there. But, yeah, that's all I got, man. Well, go enjoy the sun. And, guys,
we'll
thanks
catch
for listening.
You next week. Yeah, yeah, catch you guys next week. You can follow us on Twitter, Inside the Cylinder, CYLNDR. Like I said, I'll stop spelling at you once you give us a follow. And, I will be in Boston next week, so it'll be a lot colder, and I'll probably be hitting some depression. So, but I will be still reporting into something. So.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be in a positive state of mind because the Pistons have won a couple games, but we will see what happens. So, yeah, again, thanks for listening, guys. Check us out online. Let us know what you think, and we'll get back to you. So, we'll see you next week.
Peace.